This is Repmo Radio. Hello and welcome to another episode of Repmo Radio, where we hear from people of interest and influence who live and work in this city that we love. If you or someone you know has an interesting job, hobby, or a story to tell, reach out to me on Facebook or send an email to jake@repmoradio.com. The interview I am doing today is with Jason Shaw. Jason founded the suicide awareness and suicide prevention nonprofit, the Tristan Hope Foundation, after his 17-year-old son Tristan took his own life earlier this year. I want to give you, the audience, a trigger warning before we cut to the interview and just let you know that Jason will be talking very openly about this topic of suicide. That said, let's begin our conversation with Jason Shaw, founder of the Tristan Hope Foundation.
We started in a church. It was called Stonebridge Church, New Covenant Academy, the high school down there. And so my wife's brother said, hey, you need to go try this church out, because we were kind of looking for a church. And so we went there, and I was blown away. I mean, they were actually, you know, doing mission trips and stuff, and it was awesome, because we didn't have that, you know, during the first couple of years of our marriage. So
didn't really have a strong,
like, yeah, not really
church connection. I mean, or faith component of,
yeah,
your marriage.
Yeah, because, you know, I was pretty into church when I lived in Neosho. I moved up here in 92, and so, you know, once I got up here, I got kind of wild and just kind of did my own thing. But so we got married and we went there, and we had been trying to have a child. And so we started praying, and the whole church was praying. And I'll tell you, we had gone to the hospital, and the doctors, you know, take this, take that, you know, here's a schedule, you know, it was crazy. So, you know, when we started going to this church, everybody was praying. I mean, it was unbelievable, and you could just feel the Spirit, you know, moving. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't probably a month after that that we found out we were pregnant with Tristan.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So, you know, in our minds, he was always our miracle baby. You know, I mean, it's like we just tried and tried and tried, and nothing came true. And so when everybody started praying, boom, there it was, you know. And gosh, he was born, and oh, just a beautiful child, you know. Wow. I tell you what, to be a parent, your entire life changes. You know, you don't understand the love you have for your child until you have one. And it's just, it's unbelievable. So, he was my bud, you know, being the first child. It was awesome. The things I really remember the most was, and the things I miss, really, I've been thinking a lot about it here lately, is, you know, when they're so tiny and they just fall asleep on your chest.
Oh, yeah.
wow. You know, it's just unreal. You know, and then they grow up. They go through their little stages. He had a pirate stage he went through. He loved, you know, to watch the pirate movies and stuff. And wow, it was so fun, because he would dress up like Captain Jack Sparrow, you know. And so her grandparents live in Michigan, and we went up there, and they have this actual pirate weekend thing, and there's boats coming in. So he dressed up like a pirate that weekend and just had a ball up there. So, you know, it's just little things like that that you remember and you miss. You know, he was just he was very artistic, very smart. Wow. Yeah, he was smart as you could be. So they built him and his friends built a computer in our dining room. And I, you know, I would have never thought that something like that would happen, but I just kind of watched him.
He didn't get that from you, huh?
Oh, no. No, computer. No, I can build stuff, and, you know, I've been working on a hot rod for a while, but, you know, just to see the computer stuff, it was just really cool, because, like, man, this, you know, he's really into this, you know, it's so cool. Tristan didn't really want to play in any sports or anything. So, and I always, you know, hey, if you don't want to play, I'm not going to force you. You know, that's your thing.
Yeah, good on you, because a lot of dads are like, "What's like wrong to do with that? You, kid?"
Because you know, I mean, if you find something that you like, man, go for it. You know, I'm going to support you 100%. So he really got into the computers, and you know, him and his friends, and they played a lot of games and did a lot of other crazy stuff. And then, you know, when it was amazing because he would talk about coding, you know, from school, and I'm just like, dude, I don't know what you're talking about. You know,
like I'll listen, yeah, but I don't know if I actually know what you're saying.
I couldn't get it, you know. And then seeing him build that with his friends, that was really, it was really cool. You know, it was pretty special. So, yeah, we miss him a lot. You know, there's a lot of things that we think about now. I mean, we're going to have to do a bunch of first times, you know, with Thanksgiving, his birthday, you know, Christmas, all that stuff.
I mean, he's been gone since May?
May 20th, yes. Yeah, or May 10th, I'm sorry.
Right, so there are May a lot. 10th, there yes. are some firsts coming up.
Yeah, there's been a lot. You know, 4th of July was hard. He used to shoot all the fireworks off with me, you know. That was a really big thing in our neighborhood. Of course, in all of Republic, really, to be honest. But, yeah, so it's been tough. You know, you miss a lot of things every day. I've got about a 25-minute drive to work. So I've been doing a lot of praying, a lot of, like, talking, like he's here. You know, he's sitting right next to me, and, you know, we just have a conversation. And it's moving. You know, you can really feel his presence. And so there's a lot of tears fought back in the morning, you know, and I just carry a box of tissues with me in the morning. But yeah, we miss it. We miss the knowing that, gosh, you know, graduation's coming. He's not going to get to graduate. We're not going to see him get to go to the college that he wanted to. And that's tough, you know, and that's kind of why, you know, I've been trying to spread awareness, you know, just to let parents know, hey, you know, even if your kids are okay or you think they are okay, man, reach out and talk to them, you know, because you just really never know, you know. So,
you know, kind of looking back, you know, on the last 6 months or year or so, mm-hmm. are there things now when you look back, you're like, ooh, that was a sign, kind of things, little things that you missed that you kind of go back and go, now what he said makes more sense.
Yeah.
The time it didn't make sense. I can only imagine just trying to picture myself in that awful situation, just replaying every moment in my head, you know, and going,
I'll tell you, you know, there's always the what ifs, of course. So one of the things I've been doing is learning about the signs, you know, and I can't really say that anything really stuck out, you know what I mean? Like, cause I've gone, like you said, I've gone back and thought, you know, as far back in our history as I can, you know, man, did I do the right thing here? Did I do the right thing there? You know, what about that one time when we had that long conversation? Was that, you know, was all that said right? Did he take all that in the right way? But you know, in all honesty, you know, he knew we loved him. I know probably the last year he struggled a little bit, you know, and we knew that. We had had him in some counseling and stuff. Kind of weird, you know, it seemed like things were improving. He seemed happier, you know. One day he told my wife, he's like, I just want to fire my counselor. I just really don't want to go anymore. You know, I'm doing okay, Mom. And so it was kind of weird when he said that. So the wife was like, well, you're going to have to call him and you got to talk to him and all that. So he did.
You'll have to be the one to fire him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He did, you know. And, you know, the thing that I remember the most that he said to me is like, it seems like it's hard for me to make new friends. And I said, well, I mean, I've gone through that in high school. I think we all do at some point, you know, because, you know, Tristan had a very solid several people, you know, and they did everything together.
Like a close-knit group.
Yeah. And Tristan was really kind of quiet anyway, just kind of hung out with his friends. So I can see how it would be very hard to open up to somebody else and, you know, and try to make new friends. And you know how kids are. Some of them can say some things. And so you get, your mind starts thinking, and, you know, that's that's just evil, just coming in there and just messing with you. But, you know, and I just always encouraged him, you know, that last year. It's like, hey, you know, just go up and start talking to somebody, you know. And there's going to be times where you're going to get hurt. I mean, that's just going to happen. That's life, you know, and you just got to move on. And I said, you know, there's probably other kids at that school that feel the same way you do.
Sure,
you
yeah.
know? And so I was always trying to encourage that, like, hey, you know, always be there for somebody else, you know. And, you know, it's just really weird because, you know, everybody I talked to said he was always happy, and he always kind of walked with a, you know, a little hop, a bounce in his step, you know, which was pretty, it was cool. You know, I love that of him. And he just, I guess, it, you know, everybody I've talked to said he always brought a smile to everybody in the hallway. So, I mean, that really makes you think, like, okay, what was really, really the deep, you know, he left us a note. I'll just tell you this. And I think he had planned on us not finding it for quite a while. It was very well hidden, and my wife's the one that found it. So, you know, just reading it, it's like, wow, there was something troubling in his head. You know, a lot of things in his life didn't make sense to him, you know. And I understand some of that. Now, I wish he would have reached out to us more for help, you know. But on that note, I think a lot of kids do that where they don't want to burden their parents. And, you know, that's another one of the things that I've been trying to tell people. It's like, you're not going to be a burden to your kids. I mean, or to your parents. It's like, we want to know that you're okay. And you know, we would do anything to help anybody, and especially your own son, you know. So that kind of is, that sticks with you, you know. You think about that, and then you think about, oh, was that one time when I yelled at him or something, was that too harsh, you know? Because that, you know, that could probably play into that, those thoughts that are in those heads, you know. You know, it's funny, it's like a lot of these thoughts, you know, they say kids are just trying to escape the pain that's in their head. And it's like, if they would just realize that's just evil, that's all it is. It's just thoughts that he's playing with and manipulating them to believe that it's easier for them to leave this earth than to try to work on it. It's like, if we could just get him to understand, hey, you know, everything is going to be okay. You know, it's okay to be hurt. It's okay to be broken. But you have to have the courage to step up and talk about it, you know, and that's strength. That takes a lot of strength for a child to do that. So that's one of the things that it just devastates me thinking about that, you know, like, man, I wish he would have just grabbed onto me and told me what was, cause man, we went over this. I can't tell you how many times, like, talking, and he's like, oh no, I would never try to do that, you know.
There were times when you asked him point blank.
We asked him several times because he had a friend that would call us and say, hey, you know, Tristan's doing some things, and that's kind of why we got him into counseling, and, you know, we're checking on him and talking with him, and he would always deny it, you know. And there he seemed like he was doing a lot better, you know, he's really happy. So it's just kind of weird. You know, at that time, you're just kind of like, well, it's just normal teenage stuff, you know. Looking back now, I wish I don't know, I can't say that we could have done any more, you know, because you just don't really understand the pain that he was going through, you know. And that's, I think, one of the things that's hardest for me is I can't feel that pain. I can't even begin to understand it. So it's hard for me to put that together. You know what I mean? Like, what could I have done, or how could I have handled that better? So that's just part of this process. I think you're always going to have that hole right there. You know what I mean? And, you know, maybe one day we'll realize what it was, you know? So, but that's the toughest thing. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you don't have this, you know, because some people do. Some people, yeah, they can never heal and move past it because they place so much of the blame on themselves.
Yeah, yeah. And I just pray for people like that, you know. It's so easy to blame yourself, you know. It is so easy, but you know, it's not your fault. You know, they had things in their head that was way above us. You know what I mean? Which it's kind of hard to explain, you know? And I've tried to do that too. It's like, well, it was my fault. You know, maybe I yelled at him too many times, or I didn't pay enough attention to him, or, you know, this or that, that and this. And, you know, you could sit there all day and think about that and drive yourself nuts. You know, you can drive yourself to the point where you want to take your own life. You know, you really can. And so at that point, I just pray. I've just given it all to God. You know, it's like, you lead me where you want me to go. I want to be a voice for this. I think I've deserved that, you know, like, because to be honest with you, I don't want parents or other kids to go through what we've gone through.
Well, sure.
It is. I mean, it's just devastating. I mean, it's crazy. You'll have some good times, you know, and my wife is very encouraging. She's like, well, let's not think about all the bad stuff. Let's think about the 17 years of great memories we had and all the stuff we did together. And man, that is awesome, you know, to think and to know. And Facebook has been really awesome because they have those memories that come up.
The memories,
and,
yeah.
My gosh, you know, I remember a lot about that stuff. And so, but I'm bad at going back through. I mean, it's like every day, you know, especially when you lay down, you think about his bike ride to where he ended his life. And I'm like, okay, what went through his head at that time, you know? And I get angry at myself because I wasn't there. But that's part of that thing where you can't really do that because that's out of your control.
Well, and
you know?
I mean, if I remember right, because I remember seeing, was it your wife that posted on Facebook that morning trying to look
for him?
I'm
going to tell you what, I got up.
It was early.
Yeah, I got up at 3:30 and he was gone.
Why were you up?
I just woke up. I mean, I wake up early like that every day for some reason. I'm just going to tell you this story. It was like a couple weeks before this, I heard him at like 2:30 in the morning. I was like, oh, he needs to be asleep. You know, what's going on? So I go in there and he had his window open and had the screen out. And he's like, I was like, what are you doing? You know, he's like, I'm just trying to fix the screen. It was rattling or something like that. So, you know, I stuck it back in there, didn't really think anything about it. It's like, go to bed, man. You need to get some sleep, you know, at school tomorrow. And so I never really thought about it. So the next day, you know, he gave me a hug. He's like, Dad, I'm sorry. I couldn't sleep, and I wanted to crawl out the window and just go for a walk, you know. And I was like, well, next time you do that, just go through the front door. Hey, I understand, you know, if you can't sleep. It happens, you know. So I knew something was bugging him at that point. Didn't really know everything was fine after that. So a couple weeks, May 10th comes along, and I don't know if I heard anything, but I woke up and kind of looked out the bathroom window first, which is right by his bedroom, and I noticed the light on, so I walked in there, and of course the window was open, and he was gone, so I was like, okay, well, he's just gone out for a walk. You know, he probably can't sleep. So I opened the front door, and I started a pot of coffee. As soon as it was ready, I poured a cup, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to hop in the truck and go looking. So I told my wife at that point, it was probably, I don't know, 3:45 at that point. And, you know, so I spent an hour and a half out driving just through our nearby neighborhoods just looking for him, you know, thinking maybe, well, his bike, because he had taken off on his bike, you know, thinking maybe he fell down or something. So I'm just looking everywhere. Well, I'm panicking at that point, and I'm, you know, I think I posted the first time on Facebook, hey, I'm looking for my son.
I was like, he didn't have his shoes on or
something. He had his flip-flops on, you know. And this is another thing that bugs me. He had taken off down by the high school and then went down that way about 4.5 miles. So later on, after all this is over, I'm thinking, you know, that's another one of those things you'll do to yourself. okay, well, instead of me going over here, maybe if I would have drove that way, I would have ran into him, you know? And I think that's just our human nature to do that. And that's also, and I'll just be honest, that's Satan getting with you. You know, it is. And because he's going to do everything he can to steal, kill, and destroy. I mean, that's what he does. You know, I just think about what he thought about, you know, and I had know I had texted him several times, so I don't know if he ever saw those texts, you know, if any of that, he thought about any of that, you know, and this is part of that where you can go down the wrong road with yourself. I mean, you can dwell on that and think about what you could have done and why wasn't I there for him or why couldn't I have done anything more for him, but the reality at the end of the day is like he's gone, you know. Now with Braden, I can change a lot of things in my life and strive to be a better parent. I can, you know, strive to talk to him more, be more conversation piece, you know, instead of just sitting down when you get home from work and getting on the phone, you know, spend some time with your son or your daughter and enjoy life, because I'll tell you what, it's when they're gone, I mean, there's not a day that goes by that I think, oh, he's going to come through that door, you know, and this has just been a nightmare. But man, you live that every day. I mean, every stinking day you live that, and it hurts. Yeah, it really hurts. And there's times where, man, you just get like the spirit come over you, and I'll tell you what, it will rip you to shreds, you know, and because you're just in cry mode at that point, and you're just saying, I love you, man, you know, I miss you, and I'm sorry if I get a little emotional, but it's like, yeah, you just find yourself trying to talk with him, you know. I'd give anything just to hug him just one more time and let him know, I want you, go rest, man, we've got this, you know. So It sucks. Suicide sucks. It really does. That's just putting it bluntly. And, you know, we had made a pact. Me and my wife were like, listen, we're not going to hide this. You know, I think people need to hear what happened, because it's serious. And there's a lot of kids out there that I think are struggling right now. And it's sad. It's so sad, you know. And so part of what I want to do is raise the awareness for the kids. Like, hey, it's okay for you to be hurt. It's okay for you to be quiet. It's okay. But we want you to speak up and let us know. There's people here to help everywhere, you know. And also on that other end of that, it's like we want the parents to realize, hey, you know, here's things you can look for. Here's things that you can do with your kid, or, you know, a lot of it is good mental health, you know. And boy, I know the ultimate healer is Jesus, you know. So it's like, get a little Jesus in your life too, you know. I mean, that is amazing. He's been so good to us. It just seems almost like with this foundation, everything's just boom. It's like it's gone so smooth, and that's because I'm not. It's like, God, this is yours. This is what I'm going to be a voice for my son, because other people need to hear what's going on and they need to learn. We're here to help. So, yeah, it's just been an unbelievable, crazy journey since May.
Before we kind of get into some of the nuts and bolts of the foundation, how have Braden and Linnea, how have they been coping through this?
Everybody grieves differently, and I learned right from the get-go, it's like, okay, I've got to let them do, because this is hard, you know. Me, I've just kind of, I still struggle, you know, and that's, we're going to do that the rest of our lives, you know. But this, I've just stood up. It's like, I've had enough, you know. Linnea, bless her heart, she is awesome. And she misses him just like I do. And she has those days that are hard and has other days that aren't so hard, but, and also have days that are devastating. But that's her journey, you know. she's kind of kept quiet a little bit, and that's great. You know, that's the way she grieves. So I can't really say a whole lot. Like, I've just kind of let her do her thing, you know, because, man, I'm dealing with a lot myself. But she is such a loving person, you know, and she understands the importance of her son, Braden, and the importance of getting this message out too. So she helps when she can. She doesn't want to be in the front, you know, and that's okay. You know, I'll take that. That's cool. Braden has been doing really good. I've seen him cry a couple times, you know, and I'm sure he deals with it in his own way. I just have conversations with him every once in a while and encourage him, and just tell him, hey, it's okay. You know, if you need to think about your brother and shed some tears, you know, go for it, dude, because that's perfectly normal. So they've been going to a really good place, Lost and Found Grief Center there in Springfield. I've gone a couple of times. Braden's gone through some counseling there, and then they did a camp for the kids, which he absolutely loved. So, and it's really good, I think, and I've done this too. It's like when you get with other people that's had similar experiences, it's so weird. It's like a release of a lot of things, and that's really helped us a lot, just talking. And so I think that's just part of the process, because I think sometimes if you stay at home and try to keep to yourself, and it's just there's danger there, I think, you know. Man, the mind goes crazy, you know. So I've been trying to stay busy. I know Linnea is trying to stay busy with Braden, and they're doing things, and we're all doing things. And so it's been hectic, you know. She took quite a while off of work, which was great that, you know, she had the time that she could do that. That was so awesome. I took quite a while off, but it's good to get back out there. There are times, though, where you're like, gosh, I really don't want to be here, you know, but that's day to day, you know. So it's quite a journey, I'll tell you. It's quite a journey.
So at what point did the idea to start a foundation come into your head, and what were some of the first steps that you took for that?
It was probably, the idea was there, you know, pretty much from the get-go. It was crazy. But it really didn't start thinking seriously until probably a couple weeks after, you know. There for almost the first month, we had family members in and friends, and it was amazing, you know, to have that. So, you know, just through all those conversations, sitting around, talking, and there was always something in the back, you know. It's like, well, Tristan didn't pass away for nothing, you know. Something needs to be done, because, you know, on that same day, Jillian, the girl from Clever, took her life the very same day. So I was like, this madness has got to stop. So, but it just kind of came out like, I want to be a voice for Tristan. And, you know, maybe Tristan was trying to say something to us and we didn't realize it. So, and maybe he tried to say something to the other students at the school. So I wanted to be that voice and be like, raise awareness so this doesn't happen to anybody else. And it just kind of grew from there, you know. We kind of sat around as a family and talked, and didn't really get serious until probably a couple weeks after. And then there was a good friend of ours, Robin. She has Choose to Live out of Kansas City, and just kind of got to talking with her. And it's like, hey, you know, what are some of the steps to form a nonprofit? And boy, it just went from there. She's helped us out a lot, but we finally, you know, it's just been a very long process. I've got to talk at the school. We had a really big event at CrossFit.
How did that go?
It was awesome.
Good, yeah.
That was our first really big event, you know, and
boy, it seemed like it went well. I ran into Jeremy. He was been right. on the show. He's the Doggy Style Food Trailer hot
right.
dog guy.
Yeah, what a great guy.
He had done the biscuit because he's really big on those kinds of events and helping out.
We love him. He is an awesome guy.
He said it went. He said it looked like it had gone really well.
Yeah. You know, we had a silent auction. Macy Mitchell and Jennifer that own CrossFit, but they are just amazing people. They want to help any way they can. So it's like, hey, let's do an event, you know? And he's like, yeah, we can, you know, do a workout based on statistics of suicide and stuff. So I gave him a bunch of statistics, and it was really awesome because it gave us the opportunity to, before each workout, we got to speak. Burrell Center was there, and so they spoke a little bit, and then I would take the stage and just kind of go through some things with people. And, you know, it was just amazing because we've had a lot of feedback from that, like, hey, you know what, we spent the time this weekend, talked with our kids, and, you know, got a few things out and said, hey, if you, you know, you ever want to talk to me, you can always come to us. And so we try to promote, you know, you want that safe adult that you can talk to. That's really big for kids. They need that in their life. So that was just really awesome. The way everything turned out, a lot of the community come out and bid on some silent auction stuff we had. We sold every t-shirt that we had. So now we're kind of like, ordering t-shirts right now is crazy. Half the colors aren't in.
Yeah, supply chain
issues.
Oh,
my goodness. Yeah. So we're just fighting a battle trying to get those in. But you know what? It went great. You know, I can't ask for anything more. I mean, that's what we want to do. We want to raise awareness at events like that and have other town get-togethers where we can, you know, actually teach people what some of the signs are and what you can do, some of the places in Springfield and the surrounding areas that are there to help, just for, you know, give them information for all that. That's what we want to do.
So is the primary purpose of the Tristan Hope Foundation is to try and when you say raise awareness, it's through events and it's through speaking at schools and it's through you know, basically anytime you can get the ear of an audience, you're going to take that opportunity to talk about signs and statistics and, of course, probably your own personal stories.
I try to speak from my heart as much as I can. I just like, that's the way I am. I'm going to let them have it the way it is. I mean, because suicide is it's a really hard subject to talk about, but it needs to be talked about because statistics have shown that when people learn about it and talk about it with their kids or with whoever, you know, it's shown that the death rates will go down. And so that's very encouraging. In my mind, I think we can stop it completely. It's just through education, getting the community together. And, you know, not even just parents. You know, there's high school kids that are now stepping up and raising awareness and helping their friends at school, which is amazing, which is exactly what Tristan would want. You know, he would have wanted to help a lot of people. So it's just blowing us away that the awareness is being raised, and that's what we want to continue to do. So, we eventually, you know, we would like to, we're going to pay for a scholarship every year for a Republic High School student, and hopefully that will grow into either multiple ones or more. That would be awesome. We want to start paying for, you know, like if the parents can't afford the counseling or something for the child, we want to start paying for that.
That would be amazing.
Our long-term goal, and this is a total God vision, this is huge, and I'm going to be bold about it, but we want to open up a crisis center here in Republic. So, you know, if there's a child at 2:30 in the morning struggling, hey, come on in. We're here.
Yeah, you know? I mean, that would be amazing because I know Springfield, it's not been that long.
Yeah.
That Burrell has opened one in Springfield.
Yeah, and it's great. There's such a need that it's already packed, you know.
There's
so much of a wait. And that gets to me because it's like, okay, when these kids are in this situation, they need help right now. You know, it could be life and death. Like,
at 2:30 in the morning.
Oh, exactly. Like, they're sitting there by themselves thinking, and, you know, those thoughts will just drive them insane, you know, and it's like, they need help right now. They need help right now. So we want to be there for that, you know. So, and that's one of those visions where it's like, okay, God, you've given me this. Let's go. Let's do this. I don't know how, where the funds will come from, but hey, I know you're going to get that for us and everything. So I'm just believing, stepping out. I'm going to look into everything about it. So we're just going to keep rocking and rolling. That's all we can do. So,
okay. Can you explain the logo? Looks like an owl.
Yeah. So the Sunday night, before Monday, when Tristan took his life, he went for a bike ride, and I'm thinking it was about 8:30 or so. He comes around and he goes, "Mom, this owl just flew down in front of me," and he said it was exhilarating. And I was like, "Wow, that's kind of weird, you know." And but it looked like Tristan was full of life, you know, and he just took off on his bike again. So we were like, "Oh, wow, that's really cool," you know. So we kind of did, you know, the little owl. We had my wife's best friend. They've been friends probably for 35 years. She does some T-shirts, you know, and so she kind of dillied around and came up with this design, and, man, we love it. We love it. It's like the semicolon, too, you know. So we've just kind of stuck with it, and
it looks great.
Really cool.
Yeah, what a great story behind that. Yeah,
yeah, and man, anything I can do to honor my son, I'm going to do it, because I don't – one of my things, I don't want people to forget him. I'm never going to forget him. I want his voice to be heard, you know, so.
So if there is somebody that is listening to this that is having those thoughts that, you know, the world would be better off without them, that, you know, they're thinking about harming themselves, taking their own life, what is it that you would say to that person?
Oh, man, hold on. Everything's going to be okay. I would tell them, you know, not to believe in those thoughts. I mean, that's evil. There's a person you can pray to. His name's Jesus, and he's going to take all that pain away. Now kids are, you know how kids are, but it's like there's so many different things they can do now. They can text 741-741, and what those people are, it's a national suicide hotline, but it's texting instead of calling.
That's how a lot of young people communicate.
And you know, this is one of those things where these kids like, "Oh, I don't want to get a hold of that." Well, here's the thing. These people that are going to answer that text or answer that phone call are trained individuals for this situation. And what a lot of people think is it's going to be somebody out of the area, when in all reality, it's somebody in your area that's been trained. These people are everywhere. Now, there are instances where they might get a hold of the police or something, because they've been trained. If they hear certain things, they're going to send out help. It's not that you're going to get in trouble or get arrested or anything. The police are trained too. They've all been certified in this. So they're coming out to help too. And those people that are struggling need to realize that there are so many people out there that want to help. So pick up the phone. Call your trusted adult. Call the suicide hotline. Text somebody. You know, it doesn't matter what time it is. Text. They can text me. I will answer the phone. And it's just letting them know they are loved and that they are needed in this world. It's like, it's so crazy. I talked a little bit at the high school, like, what somebody could actually mean to this world, we don't really know. You know, everybody's an individual. God's created them for something great. And sometimes we don't know that while they're in high school or whatever. They won't find that purpose yet. So what I did at the high school is like, hey, you know, here's somebody. Martin Luther King Jr. tried to kill himself twice before the age of 14.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Now, that was way before he did any of the Civil Rights Act movement and stuff. So, you know, that is somebody that completely changed the world. So I try to encourage these kids. It's like, you don't know right now what your purpose, your full purpose in this life is. It could be world changing. You know, we just don't know. And they matter in this world. They have a purpose. And when somebody dies, it changes everything. It changes all the people around them in their classroom. You know, there's an empty seat there now. That changes everything. Throughout their day, they might not realize that it does, but after a period of time, they're like, man, I really miss that person, you know? And I know in the home life, it really changes everything. So, man, it's just, I'm trying to encourage these kids, don't give up. Fight. I mean, they fought for so long already, you know? It's like, let's go. You know, you can beat this. And it's just temporary. It's just a symptom of the pain that they're going through, you know? And they just need somebody to show them love. They need somebody to give them attention. Just hug on them, you know? A simple high five in the hallway can give somebody encouragement, like, wow, that person almost really cares for me. That's pretty cool that I got a high five, you know? I mean, it, you know, there are kids that can change a life, you know? And so we just want to be encouraging for that. And you know, there's kids out there that have tried to take their life. And those kids have a story to tell themselves. And so it's encouraging to talk to them too and be like, hey, you get out and you tell your story, because people need to know. I mean,
like, don't be ashamed of it.
Yeah, yeah. Do not be ashamed of this. I mean, every one of us hurts, every one of us. And all of us have something inside that pains us, you know. Now, with suicide, I don't know if it just goes deeper, you know, but there's a way out, you know. And it's through love. It's through affection. It's through showing somebody that they matter. But it's hard. It's hard for a child that's in that predicament to be like, well, why do I matter? You know, but they do. And so I would just be encouraging. It's like, don't be afraid to reach out, because if you reach out, you're going to get help. And that's what they need, you know. And I think deep down inside, they want that help. And so it's just try to be encouraging. Open up. It's great, man. You are so strong when you open up, because that, for some reason, that releases something, you know.
Oh, sure, sure.
So getting them to open up is probably the biggest thing, you know.
If somebody wants to help the Tristan Hope Foundation, mm-hmm. or just wants more information, where mm-hmm. can they go?
We have Facebook, we have Instagram, we also have a Gmail. It's Tristan's Hope Foundation @gmail.com. There's tristanshopefoundation.org. They can go on there if they want to, you know, help us out with donation.
Is that your biggest need?
Yeah. Donations? Because, you know, we've already raised enough for the scholarship this year, praise the Lord. So we're going to start, our board is sitting down and we're trying to start figuring out how we can start helping to pay. And we're also saving back for, you know, the crisis center eventually.
That's going to be amazing.
You know, I've been told
that will
like
be amazing for
that's
our town.
Really bold. And I'm like, you know what? But it's not impossible.
No,
you know,
it's not.
It's not impossible.
Absolutely.
And what, you know, there are so many needs in our community, you know, and I'm going to tell you what, there are so many nonprofits here in Republic and this town. I go to some of the luncheons for the business and stuff, and it's just like there's a lot of fire in this community, and it's awesome to see.
Yes.
And there's a lot of organizations helping people. It's just awesome. Praise the Lord. I want these kids to know there's so much help out there, and we're going to be there for you guys too. They can reach out. They can email us. I'm usually pretty quick to get back with them. But we have a donation spot there on our website in the shop. We're making more shirts. So that's another way that they can help us. And if they have any questions, I'm more than willing, any of us on our board, especially me, I'll sit down and have a conversation with anybody. You know, I'm going to spill out my heart. I'm going to tell them, you know, what God's kind of laid out for us, what we want to do. We just want to help kids. We want to help families that are struggling with the situation like we did, especially the kids. The kids are my soft spot. Speaking at the school in September was One of the greatest things that probably could have happened. Personally, I think we did a lot of good there. I think we planted some seeds, and I just continue to pray about that. But these kids, they're our future. And there's a lot of these kids, most of these kids have such a huge heart, and they want to help. They might not just not know how to do it. So we've kind of gone in there and just kind of spreading the word, encouraging. There's a lot of kids struggling, and that's so hurtful. So if we can get other kids to love on their friends and those friends love on the other friends, and that's going to help so much. You know what I mean? And that's part of like one of our outreach is just to try to get people together and help each other. Because I can't stop suicide by myself. Our foundation can't, you know, another organization can't stop it. But together, we're going to make a huge impact. I always like to say that we will move mountains, you know, because we can. You know, we've got Jesus behind us. Let's go. You know what I mean? I'm fired up for this, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, I can tell, for sure.
I don't want people to go through what we've gone through. That's the number one thing. And there's no need to, you know. My newest thing that I've come up, I saw it. It's suicide is not an option. So... And it's not. I mean, there's so many ways that we can help those people that are struggling. There's so many organizations that will help. There's counselors everywhere. So here we are. You know, reach out. We want these kids to open up, reach out. Let's go. Let's get this settled. Let's fix it. So
that's awesome.
That's what we're all about, man.
That's awesome. Jason Shaw, thank you for joining us on... for this interview. And, you know, but going into this, I was like, man, I don't even know how to ask some of these questions. Like, it would seem difficult. But then I was like, you know, he is using Tristan's life as a way to bless others.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to dive straight in and just let this go. I'm not going to, you know, try to, you know, jump around it or anything, because you gave me the impression right off the bat that was not going to be the case. Yeah, and let's talk about it. Which, I mean, having to do that over and over and over again and scratch that, you know, that pain over and over again.
I'm going to tell you, it fuels me, you know. Seeing those kids at the high school stepping up like they did that one night at the ball game. You know, they had the suicide hotline number on there, and they were all dressed up in purple. That fuels me. That tells me that we're on the right path, that other people do care enough, like, hey, we do need to stop this. So, and, you know, we're just gaining an army, and that's awesome. You know, it's the Lord's army. It's just so great. And another thing I wanted to say, because I've heard that before, it's like, don't be afraid to approach me. I know it's a really tough subject, but listen, I'll spill my heart with anybody, because this pain needs to be explained. Like, they need to know, like, we can fix this, and you don't want to go here, you know? And man, I love telling the story. Like I said, it fuels me, and I think it helps. It helps other people realize, man, this is a serious situation, because it's huge. And, you know, some people are afraid to talk about it, and that's okay, but we're breaking. That's a stigma we're going to break. You know, there's other organizations that are doing it too. So let's go, you know. So, yeah, just don't ever be afraid to talk to me. You know, come right up, ask me, and I'll tell you. Because, like I said before, we made an agreement a long time ago. We're not going to hide this. It's a story that needs to be told. This is an ongoing problem in our community and surrounding communities in our nation, our world. You know, there's, you know, every, I think it's 11 minutes someone dies in the United States of suicide. So every 11 minutes, just think about that. It blows me away. And to me, it can be stopped. You know, it's just a symptom of something. So whether it be mental health or any other kind of problems, we can fix it, you know. So
awesome. Well, thank you for what you're doing.
Yes. I want to thank you for having me on here, too,
absolutely.
As well.
It's been my pleasure. Jason Shaw, Tristan Hope Foundation, find him online, whether you are in a place of crisis or if you are in a place where you can support either logistically or financially reach out to Tristan Hope Foundation and lend a hand, because it is already just a few months in making a big impact on our community. Thank you for joining us on another episode of RepMo Radio, where we talk to people of interest and influence who live and work in this community that we love. And we will talk to you next week.